This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Audrey Raj, this is Resource Center. Now, you may have already heard the ads playing on BFM. BrandFest, the annual brand marketing forum, is back for its 16th installment, and this time it's bigger and badder because, well, BFM is on board as well. And this year, the two-day conference welcomes some pretty interesting speakers, and I have one of them in the studio with me today. He is the Strategic Growth Director Asia at the World Panel Division of Kantar, and his name is James Graham. Now, James here is passionate about helping brands grow by understanding their shoppers. He is currently responsible for helping clients understand how shopper behavior will change, with a focus on markets in the Philippines, Indonesia, Taiwan, and China. And for a more localized look at the consumer market, we are also joined today by Terry Cook. Now, Terry leads business development and marketing at the World Panel Division of Kantar, and he'll be able to give us some insight into the psyche of the Malaysian consumer. Gentlemen, first and foremost, welcome and thanks for allowing us a sneak peek into what you'll be presenting at BrandFest later this month.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so just to get the ball rolling, guys, what are Malaysian consumers like? Do we like Malaysian consumers? And maybe we can get an overview of what the consumer market is like here in Malaysia.
Yeah, so I think Malaysia probably has one of the most sophisticated and diverse consumers in Asia. And I think some of the ways they're shifting is really super interesting. So one of the big shifts we see is that shoppers are moving more and more. So they're looking for retailing that's proximate to the house. Mm-hmm. They don't want to travel too far, but they want a great selection of prices and a great selection of range as well in terms of products. So that's why we see the kind of local mini markets such as 99 Speed Mart, but also other locals like TF Value Mart and Family Store really start to grow with popularity with shoppers because they can find the majority of what they need within kind of stone throw distance of the house. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the major ways that Malaysian shoppers are quite interesting, and they're changing their behavior over that time period.
Is that also why we have like 700 malls coming up in the country? We'll have about 700 malls in the country by the end of the year.
It's incredible the number of shopping destinations are coming up at the speed of it as well. I think in Malaysia particularly, and especially over the last few years, I think people have been opened up. The gap used to be really huge between large players and small players in terms of the pricing capability. Mm-hmm. But I think, especially guys like 99 Speed Mart has proven a fact that, with a proper distribution system and with a proper management, they can close the price gap. So when that price gap disappears or diminish, and Malaysians starts finding themselves in a spot where they have less reason to travel the distance out of their way, and then now it opens up a whole new different market for people to enter into proximity play. So I think that's part of the reason why people are trying to get closer and closer to the consumer in terms of opening up spots for shopping.
Okay, so do you see any key trends developing lately? What's the latest?
Yeah, so other than the people looking for retail destinations close to the house, it's really interesting you mentioned malls because we're seeing across Asia, especially in the more developed markets, which Malaysia would be teetering upon, that a lot of malls are moving a lot of their real estate away from retail and into entertainment. Mm. So, for example, if you look at the Mid-Valley Mall, you have a huge section of that that's devoted to gaming and kind of 3D worlds and VR experiences. That's because malls are trying to branch out more and more to be an entertainment destination, not just a pure shopping event. So that's something we're seeing across Asia, and again, especially the more developed markets. One of the other trends we're seeing is that shoppers more and more looking for promotions, and especially price promotions, and especially price discounts. It's a continuing trend. If we look at just, let's say, the FMCG market here in Malaysia, there's about 5 percentage points of the market that has gone from off deal to on deal, and that's just in 4 years. That's just the increase.
Right.
So of every 100 ringgit spent, 5 more ringgit spent on promotion now than it was back in 2014. Mm. So managing these promotions and getting the most out of these promotions is a key challenge for marketers, and we see absolutely no sign of that decreasing in terms of its popularity.
Any peculiarities about consumer behavior here in Malaysia that businesses and particularly marketers should be paying attention to?
Yeah, I mean, we could definitely go to the e-commerce channel for that in terms of we have, with the exception of the super developed markets such as Singapore, we have probably one of the most developed e-commerce platforms in Asia, here in Malaysia. And it is pretty efficient at selling a lot of products. But in terms of your everyday essential needs, like your household goods, it's actually not getting a lot of traction with Malaysian shoppers. So they're really going there specifically for baby and beauty products. If you have a new baby, you don't really have a lot of time to leave the house. You stay in the house a lot. You know, you're trying to rationalize and get budget, so you go online for cheap deals. And then the high-end beauty products like the Korean beauty masks, those kind of products are also doing pretty well. So I think in terms of how shoppers are interacting with technology and how shoppers are both researching and buying for things online, Malaysia is probably one of the most developed countries in Asia, with, again, the exception of those super developed states.
All right. I'm feeling the burn here because, you know, Korean beauty products and baby stuff. Yep, that's me online. All right. So it's been almost a year now since the new Pakatan Harapan government took over. And with it, very quickly came the switch from the GST to the SST era. And I know, James, you'll be speaking about this at the BrandFest conference. So give us a teaser here. How are Malaysian consumers adjusting to SST? And have there been major challenges in this new era?
Sure. So I think the first thing to say is that we expected, when SST was introduced, it to have a very similar effect to GST in terms of shoppers stockpiling and shoppers really volume loading in how much they bought. We actually didn't see that at all. People really saw it as a tax holiday. And when it's a tax holiday, you pretty much go back to the same state of play it was previously. Now, we are seeing a very small group of shoppers that are drastically reducing their spending after the tax holiday. This could be because of uncertainty, because of government or various other factors that we're not quite sure yet. But we do anticipate those shoppers to continue to start to rebuy next year and then pick the market up from there on in. So overall, the SST-GST switch didn't have too much effect on household goods. We know it had a huge impact on the big ticket items, the cars, the holidays, the fridges, etc. I don't know, maybe you bought those as well, so I'm describing you to a T here. But ultimately, that's what the effect had. It was really seen as a holiday from shoppers. It wasn't its own unique event. It was just, oh, I get a tax holiday now. I can bring forward that purchase of a car or a Honda or a holiday.
I think if I may add on to that as well, is that if you think about the Malaysian context, we've been really, if you look at the consumer sentiments, if you've been paying attention, or for anyone who's been paying attention, is that we've been suffering from below what we call the optimism threshold. So we've been below that 100 points of optimism threshold for as long as 6 years.
Oh,
right. So throughout that 6 years, to suffer that negativity is a long time for people to dwell. Now, just right before the election happened, it went on a surge to 132. And that's an all-time high in 20 years. So I think there was a huge expectation from Malaysians, in particular the public or the mass. And this, we're talking about the B40s and the M40s, right? So from these, a large group of people from here was expecting a drastic change after that. And obviously, we know that in reality, that's not going to take place so quickly. So quickly, you can see that the confidence is dipping after that. Now, if we observe what James was just mentioning, and all these things, all this turn of events, they all happen during around the same time. You have the GST transition to tax holiday, then back to SST. Then you have the election surge of confidence. You have all these economical uncertainties. And all these comes together. They still reflect back what Malaysians have been facing for the last 5-6 years. So from an FMCG perspective, or from a household grocery shopping perspective, we're seeing it has actually have a toll on Malaysian shoppers. When we observe the average number of products a household used in a household, it started, if I remember my facts and figure correctly, it was starting from close to 50 categories or 50 types of product they use at home from year 2013. And this year at 2018, we're only sitting at 43, right? So they've dropped almost 15% of their categories out of their basket. And that's a sign telling us that the mass is rationalizing what they use. I only buy what I need, and I'm slowly excluding things that I don't need, or I'm not consciously making the decision, but if I don't need it, I don't have as high an intentional interest to buy it. That's the first thing that they've demonstrated, that the confidence was plummeting. And the second part is where James mentioning, and you also very observantly mentioned that promotion is prevailing. So that natural so-called interest that leans towards promotion is also an effect of this mass confidence or being deprived of confidence for 6 years. So I think it all ties together. So Malaysians are really crying out and say, you know, I'm not really comfortable with spending money, so I will be careful and I will be more careful with spending money in the future. So I think what that means for brand owners or even categories owners are simply, how can you remain relevant? So there are X number of categories in the supermarket or on shelf competing for that same wallet. And in that same trolley, you have that 50 categories available or spots available. So you know commodities like rice, oil, sugar, they don't run away. But if your category sits between being needed, good to have, and need to have, that's where you really need to concern yourself with what you're offering as a proposition and as a relevance to your consumers. We take examples to, you know, if you look at the GDP this year, the private sector spending has been off the roof. It's plus 8%, and it's driving the entire GDP. Yeah. So we're saying people are spending money. But where did they go? Why did that not happen? Why did we not see that reflect in the FMCG market or in consumer goods? But what happened was that our hypothesis was saying that people are now spending more on travel, you know, experience stuff that they have, eating out, and et cetera, et cetera. But if we look at every other industry versus the FMCG industry, if you look back 10 years and the FMCG has changed rather less in comparison to every other industry. Look at the hotel industry, look at the travel industry, look at the flying industry. So all these industries has evolved tremendously in terms of experience, but a lot of the categories in FMCG just simply haven't caught up to that. So I think we're losing relevance in a way from the category perspective.
Is big data the issue here? Is FMCG not leveraging on big data as well as, say, the people in the travel industry are?
It depends on... depends on the level of what you mean by data. I think there are a lot of things that they don't analyze as well as they should. For example, promotions, which we'll go on and talk about. But it's just a case of they're not able to improve on people's lives. When you think about being selective, if I have to be selective over, you know, what phone I have, which is a status symbol, or where I go on holiday, which also seems a pseudo status symbol, and what coffee I drink at home, obviously the economy is going to come in the coffee and the food and beverages products I consume.
Right.
So it's just a case of them not being able to add enough value to consumers' lives to remain relevant in their wallet. It's relevance is what we're really talking about.
Yeah. So I think if you look across all this industry that that has dramatically changed over the course of the last 10 years, and I think a lot of them speaks a lot from a shopper's perspective, from a consumer's perspective, from the user's perspective. So I think that centricity gave birth to a lot of innovation and gave birth to a lot of great ideas. And when you think about traditionally how FMCG is being operated in Malaysia, or as a matter of fact, in a lot of developing worlds, is that we don't even innovate as fast. We wait until there is a clear sign of need, and then we start to react against that, right? So in terms of bonus from an FMCG industry, there is just not, I think, this is a big word to put it, I mean, but there's just not enough dreamers in that industry, and there is not enough people trying to put themselves in the shopper's perspective. Yeah.
And I think in terms of specific categories, just to bring this home to more relevance, a category that I'd kind of highlight as being very symptomatic of this is something like coffee, where you have a lot of players in coffee. You go to the coffee aisle, you see it's a huge aisle with so many different brands. And there are brands that are very, very targeted. They're only going after one specific type of taste and one specific shopper group. So they're being very focused and trying to add benefit to those shoppers' lives. And then it's a problem of, okay, let's say you're the mainstream brand. How do you simultaneously add value to all of these people's life and remain relevant? It's one of the big challenges. So we see a lot of like local and regional manufacturers are out innovating the international manufacturers and finding those niches in the market and becoming more relevant to a few people, if that makes sense.
Great.
But then you've got 20 companies being relevant to a few people. You get a lot of people being relevant to.
Okay.
Yeah.
We we're going to take a quick break now for some messages. But when we come back, I'm going to try to squeeze more out of our guests on what we can expect at BrandFest 2019. And also, what's the deal with all these sales we've got going on in the retail industry? Resource Center will be right back. BFM 89.9.
Bunkus for Makan, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
I'm Audrey Raj, this is Resource Center. James Graham and Terry Koch from the World Panel Division of Kantar are with me today, and I'm trying very hard to squeeze as much spoilers as I can get out of them ahead of the 16th BFM BrandFest happening later this month at Connection at the Vertical Bangsa South. So guys, you guys are from the World Panel Division of Kantar. Tell me a bit about what Kantar is doing speaking at BrandFest. Why are you guys the experts here?
Okay, so we at Kantar do multiple different things, but here at the World Panel Division, we track about 2,500 consumers in Peninsular Malaysia and about 700 consumers in East Malaysia continuously about what they buy and bring into the home and how that's evolving. So we have all of this information about how shoppers' lives are changing in terms of the FMCG products they're bringing into their home. Mm. We can also link that to the media they consume. So we really have the full, complete picture of the shopper from what they buy in home to what media they consume and how that changes. So at BrandFest, we'll be talking about how that shopper is evolving and what is important in their lives and where we see the future being in 2020. Ultimately, it's useful to know what happened, but it's so much more useful to know what will happen. Mm. So we're really going to be giving a view to 2020 and beyond of this is how marketers are going to have to change what they do to adapt to this very changing shopper group.
All right. Okay, guys. So just coming back to our discussion on the Malaysian consumer market. In this day and age we live in, many say we are spoilt for choice. Do you agree with this? Do you feel Malaysian consumers are spoilt for choice?
I think as overall consumers, they absolutely are spoiled for choice in terms of where they can spend their money. So if I want to spend my money in entertainment, I've got hundreds of different entertainment options. If I want to spend my money on travel, I've got many different destinations, and AirAsia is opening up new routes every day. If I want to buy a new piece of technology, again, technology is changing so fast that I can buy a piece of new technology and it's going to be really relevant to my life. One of the areas we see that shoppers might not have as much choice as they want is in the FMCG market. If you look at a market like Thailand or Taiwan, when you go into a 7-Eleven, there are so many different offerings in terms of the snack and beverages offerings to shoppers.
Yeah.
Whereas here in Malaysia, we have relatively few offerings in terms of those stores. So I think in one way, we're spoiled for choice. And in one way, specifically with our industry, FMCG, there's not enough choice. And I think one of the challenges for FMCG marketers is how do you stay relevant? That's the key word we'll be harping on about in the presentation is relevant. How do you stay relevant to shoppers that have all this choice of where they spend their money, but relatively what they spend in FMCG hasn't changed that much over that time period? How do you maintain that relevance and that interest?
There's also this prevailing view that no brand can survive without going on a periodic sale. And I personally would like to challenge this sentiment because I feel like there's a sale all the time. But please, give me your thoughts on this. You know, does every brand need a sale?
I think the key word that we're looking for here is not to promote or not to promote. I think that's an outdated view, if I may. I think the key word that you're looking for is promoting right or not. I think incrementality decides that. I think a lot of people when they do promotions, they start measuring their sales and they start going, yeah, of course, if you do a promotion, there's going to be a peak. Right after that, it dips again. And nobody seems to be able to measure the correct incrementality over a certain number of months and that what have I gained exactly from that promotional activity. So I think the key word here is you can never stop promoting. That's completely right. But we've also seen brands who are promoting less but getting growth in return. So I think the key here is how do you manage your incrementality? When you're promoting, are you getting additional value out of what you would have gotten, or are you subsidizing certain purchases? For example, Audrey, if you would have bought, if you were going to buy a product from me tomorrow And if I promote it to you at 10% discount, I've just subsidized your purchase.
Mm.
You would have bought it at full price.
Anyways, yeah.
Exactly. So I think it's being able to segregate that and being able to get an insight of whether your promotions are hitting the right spots. That's going to be the deciding factor for whether a brand can effectively play in this promotional heavy field.
And I think one thing I'd add on to that, and I think the manufacturers that are winning in promotions are doing this, and the manufacturers that are not winning in promotions generally not doing this. It's assigning every promotion with a key metric that you want that promotion to drive.
Mm.
Okay, I want this promotion to drive more people to buy my product, new shoppers to come in. Okay, how can we demonstrably prove which promotion is able to do that in which store, in which region, at which price point? You know, is that going to happen in? A lot of the manufacturers that are winning in promotions are using our data and then saying, okay, when I promote, these are the metrics I want to change. A lot of the ones that aren't winning are just trying to throw volume or decrease their price too much, or they just care about how much volume they ship today, not about how much volume they would have shipped tomorrow or the day before. And that's when you get into a cycle.
Okay, so we've covered relevance and some other market challenges out there, but maybe you can give us a few more spoilers on what you'll be covering in your presentation. What other market challenges are marketers and brands facing today?
Well, I think we're going to save something for the presentation, otherwise people will be annoyed when they bought the ticket. But I think one of the things we'll be discussing very specifically is, as we discuss the change in how shoppers are visiting stores and the types of stores they're visiting, one of the key challenges we see for marketers moving forward is how to remain relevant in each channel. So when I go to a big hypermarket, let's say a Tesco Extra, I'm going there with a specific mindset to buy specific products. How can marketers change their pack size, their offering, their price point to adapt to those shoppers in that mission?
Mm.
Simultaneously, it's the same people who go to a 99 Speed Mart. It's not two different people, but they're using a different mindset and using a different mission.
Right.
So how do I engineer my product and pack size and price point to take full advantage of that mission? That's one of the things we'll be talking about, is as the Malaysian retail environment changes, when I go to a big mall versus when I go to 99 Speed Mart, it's going to be very different. Putting the same product with the same proposition with the same price point in both is not necessarily the best way forward. It's about tweaking that. If we give you an international example from my travel around the region, if you look at the mobile phone market, you look at Oppo and Vivo, they came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
5-6 years ago to really dominate the Chinese market. They're the second and third biggest manufacturers there by the latest statistics. One of the reasons behind that is they have a very strong online presence. They have a very strong channel strategy for online, but they also have a very strong channel strategy for in-store and how to sell on the ground, how to sell actual cash to people going to a store. Some of their competitors didn't do that, and they missed out on that important channel. So marketers really have to think about the channel and the mission their product's going to be on and how to make most advantage of each mission.
Well, what about the challenges that marketers face online? Is that any different?
Well, I think in terms of how brands communicate with their shoppers online, it's really interesting. One of the key things we see is that, firstly, everyone's online. Everyone's got a mobile phone. I see 3-4 smartphones in this office, and there's only 3 people here. So clearly the ratio is above 1-to-1. But a lot of marketeers don't fully understand their shoppers and don't fully understand what their shoppers are doing online and how they're using that resource. So we've seen a lot of brands that have just gone wholeheartedly into online marketing, advertising, communication, trying to talk to their shoppers online, when really their shoppers aren't actually that ready for it yet. They're still using more traditional medias like newspapers. Newspapers are one of the biggest sellers here in Malaysia, and that's because a lot of shoppers buy them. So a lot of brands don't understand why their shoppers use online. Are they using it for a resource-based tool? Are they using it for an entertainment-based tool? Are they using it for news, travel? You know, how are they using that? They're not adapting their online plans to their specific audience. Yes, digital is going to grow, and we think every brand should have a digital presence. We're not talking about that. And it works well for a lot of brands, but there's a lot of brands that just don't understand their shoppers, and they don't understand, okay, my shopper is the kind of shopper that goes online just for resource or just for news. They're not looking to have a conversation with me and my brand.
Mm.
That's maybe where the newspapers or the TV or the Astro comes into play, whereas there are other brands that have that shopper. So just not understanding your shopper and not understanding how the shopper is using online is one of the key barriers we see for marketers.
So I guess it's fair to say that this is the kind of content you'll be covering at the 16th Brand Fest later this month, guys?
Yes, we're going to have half an hour. I think we open up the whole show, so I'll be the first presenter on stage. Yeah, we'll very much give every delegate who comes a real full understanding of where the Malaysian shopper is now, where they're going to move, and what challenges marketers have to do to, again, become more relevant in their life. Relevance is the number one word we'll be talking about, and how to maintain relevance in a shopper life is ultimately why they're going to buy you tomorrow.
Okay, and speaking of that keyword, relevance, in a room full of marketeers and, you know, businesses and brands, how will you keep the content relevant to every marketer and business in the audience? Because that's the tough part, right? You know, customizing your content but not alienating anyone in the crowd.
Sure. I mean, ultimately, it's the same shopper. That's what we boil down to. Marketeers have to base their plans around the shopper. There are only 5.8 million households in Peninsular Malaysia, slightly more when we go to East Malaysia. There are only 30 million odd consumers in Malaysia. We're all targeting the same people, and understanding what's changing in their lives and how their lives are evolving is going to be key to how you guys win as marketeers. Ultimately, that's what we're going to be talking about, and how you maintain relevance to that group of shoppers. It's the same for everyone. Everyone wants to have their brand relevant. Everyone wants to have their brand top of mind. And it's a very hectic world, so everyone's trying to get their message out.
All right. The 16th BFM Brand Fest is happening in just 2 weeks' time on the 24th and 25th of April at Connection at the Vertical Bangsa South. This is the brand marketing conference, and it's perfect not just for brand marketers out there, but the C-suites, corporate comm heads and managers, business development peeps and consultants, creative guys and academics. And the best part is tickets are HRDF claimable. Get all the info you need at brandfest.com.my. I can't wait to be there. I hope to see you there as well. Thank you once again, Terry and James. I've been speaking to James Graham and Terry Cock from the World Panel Division of Kantar. I'm Audrey Raj, and this is Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.